You know, it's always tough when you've got holidays because everyone expects you to preach whatever the holiday's about. And for those of you who know me, you know that that's just not me. And I think sometimes that whatever day it is that when you can talk about the Lord or preach about the Lord, that's good enough as far as I'm concerned. If I have a thought this morning that I would want you to remember, well, let me read you some scripture first. Let's go back over into the book of Isaiah, 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, starting in with the sixth verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. There's a song that we used to sing, or at least I used to sing. No, I didn't sing it by myself. We sang it. Maybe none of you have. But the words in it were, must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so not one soul with which to greet him? Must I empty-handed go? Oh, the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, humbly to his will I'd bow. Now, that's the verse, and I quoted the chorus verse. As I thought about that, and I thought about Father's Day, I thought about my Heavenly Father. And there's no one that I enjoy talking any more about than my Heavenly Father. And as I think of him, I think about my own father. Not trying to compare my father to my Heavenly Father, because that would have been a terrible mistake. But because there's none that can compare with my Heavenly Father. But my Heavenly Father is a very understanding and a very patient person. And he is a very forgiving person. I think that probably we need to be sure to understand that as loving as he is and as forgiving as he is, he can also be very demanding. Has every right to be, because he is God. And he is our Heavenly Father. And we are his children who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have had our sins forgiven, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we don't always behave as he would like us to. I'm just being honest with you. I'm sure that as he looks down from time to time, that he sees how we're doing. And I think probably as I begin to think about what he looks at and he sees in my life, that the words to that song are so appropriate. Oh, the years in sinning wasted. Could I but recall them? Can't do it. You can't get them back. Like to have changed a lot of things. Like to have done a lot of things. I'm not like old Preacher Jones said one time. Someone asked him one time, said, if you had your life to live over, how would you do it? And live it just exactly the way I did. He said, well, I can't say that this morning. I wish I could, but I can't, because there are too many things that I wasted the opportunities that the Lord gave me. But he is a gracious and he is a good God and he is forgiving. And where I started to go was going back over to that very wonderful portion of the word of the Lord of the what we term the prodigal son, who came to that point in his life where that he felt it was time for him to go out on his own. And he went to his father. There are two or three things I think are important that people remember about that portion of the word of the Lord. And sometimes we forget these things because we have a tendency to only hear what we want to hear, to believe what we want to believe, to think what we want to think, whether or not it's consistent with what the word says. Whenever that he went to his father, he said to his father, "Give me that portion which is mine." Like, don't forget that, because that becomes critical. And the father gave to him what was rightly his. And the Bible says not many days afterwards, he went out and went into a far country and wasted his substance in riotous living. That's what the word of the Lord says. That's not what I say. But the Bible says he wasted what he had been given. I'm concerned that me and you many times are wasting the opportunities which the Lord grants unto us as we live here among the children of men to tell other people about him. To talk about our Heavenly Father. I'm not too concerned about that you out here are living too hellish of a life, because for most of you, you're not. You're living good, wholesome, productive lives. And for the most part, I suspect that most of you have done a reasonably good job of living your life. But my concern is how many opportunities do we allow to pass by to do something or to say something on behalf of the Lord, and we waste them. You've heard me say many times, I'm not nearly as concerned when I'm going to stand before the great I Am for the answering of the sins of commission that I've committed as I am concerned about the sins of omission that I have committed. The things that I have failed to do. The Bible very clearly teaches, to him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. So when I know to do something and I don't do it, it's just as much as if you go out here and you commit any other sin. It is sin in the eyes of God. He wasted his substance in riotous living, and then finally, after everything else had failed and he felt he was a failure, he decided, he remembered his father. And I have no doubt in my mind that he knew his father still loved him. I know my Heavenly Father loves me. I know that. And I know that there are times whenever that he's been very patient and long-suffering with me. I know there are times whenever that truly he should have done much worse to me than he has done. I know that. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you this morning, but I can tell you this one thing, that probably most of you, rather than having to be concerned about what all you have done, you maybe should be concerned about what you have not done. He thought about his father and he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up from here, get out of this hog pen, and I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant. Seek the Lord. Find him when he's calling, when he's speaking. And I'm convinced that he's still doing that to the souls of men that are lost today. And they need help. They need your help. They need my help. They need our prayers. They need our encouragement. They need to know that we care about them. He didn't just say, I'll get up and go. He did that. It's pretty easy for me to say I'm going to do something and then not do it. It's pretty easy for you to say the same thing. It's a lot easier to say it than it is to do it sometimes. And we know better. He went to his father, and when he was afar off, his father saw him coming. I've thought about that many, many times. I wonder how many times that father had looked down the road to see whether or not the son was coming. I'm sure he hadn't forgotten his son. I'm sure that he still knew that was his son out there somewhere. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know all the circumstances surrounding how this son had wasted his living, his substance in riotous living. But it was still his son. And one day he looks and he sees his son coming. And he doesn't say, you know what? He doesn't even deserve to be welcome in my house. He ran down the road and greeted him, threw his arms around his neck. Let me tell you something. I have a heavenly father that is a very forgiving, a very understanding person. And he loves us. And in spite of everything that we do wrong, and in spite of the fact that we don't please him many times, he still blesses us. And that's exactly what this father did. He ran down the road, threw his arms around his son, kissed him, and told his servants, you bring forth and give him the best. So you know God gives us the best. Sometimes people get a little disturbed with me whenever I'm pretty demanding about what we do in church and how we do in church and how we take care of our church building. But I believe with everything there is about me that God gives me the very best, and he deserves the very best from every one of us. I say to people once in a while, would you have that in your house? Would you have that in your home? No, Lord, no, they wouldn't have it in their home, but they want to have it in the Lord's house. Well, don't think the Lord deserves any less than you do or any less than I do, because he doesn't. He deserves the best. He deserves the best out of my life. He deserves the best out of my abilities. He deserves the very best of everything I can do. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said, and I truly try, I don't always succeed, to give all I've got when it comes to preaching of the gospel. I love to try to preach. The Apostle Paul said, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. I think that God knows many times whenever that we're doing the best we can, and he blesses us. But he also blesses us many times with the very best that he has when we're very undeserving of it. Yeah. My Heavenly Father, why wouldn't I want to stand and talk about him today and tell about him after all that he has done for me? We don't make nearly as big a hoopla out of Father's Day as we do Mother's Day, and rightfully so, I'm convinced. But let me tell you something. With all that we do, we don't do nearly enough for our Heavenly Father. We don't give him all of the honor that he deserves. Now this father, he said to his servants, he said, you bring forth the best we have, and we're going to celebrate because this my son, he never failed to keep him as his son and acknowledge him as his son, was lost and is now found. His other brother who's out here, and he's got a little streak of jealousy in him like I see in people every once in a while. They're a little afraid somebody else is going to get a little more than they do from the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Lord's got enough for every single one of you. He's never going to run out. You don't need to worry about that. All you've got to be concerned about is whether or not that you're going to be in a position where that you can receive his blessings. His brother's out here, and he comes and he hears what's going on. He sends his servant and says, what's going on in there? Need to find out. Kind of reminds me of a lot of Christians and a lot of Baptists. I don't use those interchangeably either sometimes. But they want to know what's going on, but they sure don't want to do anything. They just want to know what's going on. And then if they do have anything they want to do, it's to run the tongue and to be critical of those who are trying to do something. Let me tell you something. You don't have to do much, just sit on the sideline and be critical of those who are in there fighting the battle. I always hope, and I've said this a number of times, Ronnie, I hope I wear out and don't rust out. You know, that's kind of my hope, that the Lord can use me, that I wear out, not rust out. But his servants came out and said, well, your brother has come home. And they want you to come in. No, I'm not going in. So the father comes out to him. I want you to listen. You go back and read this. I'm not reading it to you. I'm just quoting. But you can go over into the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, and you can read this afterwards. I'm about through, so you don't have time to read it right now. 15th chapter of Luke. The father comes out to him and tries to persuade him to come in. He says, no, I'm not coming in there. Your son, he didn't say my brother. No, he don't want anything to do. He's not his brother anymore. Your son has gone out here and spent all of yours with harlots. No telling what else he's done. He doesn't know that. First of all, he's wrong that he's accusing his brother of spending his father's, because the father gave to the son which was properly his. You see, sometimes we just go in and we want to say what we want it to say. We do that with the word of the Lord a lot of times. If we don't like the way that it reads, we'll say, well, that's not what it means. Let me tell you something this morning. God says what he means. And God means what he says. He doesn't need me or you to try to twist it around to make it fit us. That's why I read to you this morning whatever he said. When his word goes forth, it will accomplish that whereunto it pleases him to send it. And it will not return unto him void. See, that's why I can take great pleasure in standing up here and preaching to you the word of the Lord. I don't have to worry about how it's affecting each one of you. I do worry about it sometimes. I want you to enjoy it, but I know sometimes it's not enjoyable. I always like to hear people say, well, I really appreciated that good message this morning. Now, I don't want you just coming up and start saying that to me just because I got up here and said that. I say, now, don't be hypocritical about it. But let me tell you something. I know that God is able to look into each and every one of your hearts and know what you need. I also know that whenever I preach his word, it isn't me that gives us the impact to it. He does that. He, through the Holy Spirit, lets it go out there and speak to your heart. Yeah, that's the wonderful miracle of God. So I see his miracles every day. I'm blessed every day. I do try to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for helping me. I mean that in all sincerity because I know it takes his help. Do I thank him enough? No, I never thank him enough for all he does. My Heavenly Father is one that I can recommend to anyone and to everyone without any reservation whatsoever. I make no apologies for him because he needs no apologies. He is perfect, always has been. He is long-suffering, always has been, and loves those of his own, and always will. Regardless of what we do, he still loves us. He still cares for us. And so today, of all days, I want to say how proud I am of my Heavenly Father, that he loved me enough that he sent his only son, into the world, died on my behalf, and made perfect the plan that has allowed me to be one of his sons. Good one? No. Not a good one, but a thankful one. Happy Father's Day to each one of you fathers who are here this morning. To our fathers who have already gone on, I hope that each of us are appreciative of them, are thankful for them, but most of all, that we'll remember the greatest of all of them is our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.